I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, it's episode 84 of Ready Player 2. Lee said something, but I don't care because I've already screwed the intro up already once and I'm not going to do it all over again. So, Lee is here.
Hello.
Lewis is here.
Hello.
And I am here. My name's Rich. Oh, thank you. We've done it.
Got there.
Was that okay?
Yeah.
Oh, we'll spend the entire night recording intros and screwing them all up.
I was doing that.
It was a thing that I was doing. I was clicking around on my screen and everything went a little bit wrong. Look, it's all right now. We've fixed it. Everything's absolutely fine. Hi, everybody. This is Ready Player 2. So, this is a bit of a different episode. Is it a bit of a different episode? It is a bit of a different episode, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit of a different episode.
It's a bit of a different episode. And there's a lot of bit of a different episodes now, and I'm not really sure what the threshold is. At what point is it going to be that every episode's so abnormal that they're all normal?
When everybody's weird like you, then you're normal.
That's okay then. I'm in good company. Yeah. I feel quite happy. So look, what we do every now and again, as people who follow us on Twitter, which you should do by the way, or on our Discord, which you should be in by the way, or are on our Facebook, which, well, you can take it or leave it. We ask questions every now and again of our community and say, like, oh, have you got any questions for the podcast? And most of the time it's just filler. We don't really care what any of you think. But in this particular instance, we put out Lewis put out a tweet saying, have we got any questions? And I think we got an answer back. Actually, it wasn't a direct answer to that question, was it? It was more of a topic suggestion. And this is from Edge of Heaven. At @edge_0f heaven. And she just popped up and said, what makes you want to play a game? Is it the graphics, the story, the replay value, all of your friends are playing? The problem with a question like that is that that's basically a podcast all by itself.
So what are we going to do?
So this is a podcast all by itself. So we've basically decided, we used to do this on the older podcasts when we used to talk for 14 hours and edit it down to about 13. A lot of it was emotional waves at that point, but we went through sections of the show and we talk about what we've been doing this week. And then we had a news section. Then we spoke about maybe community questions or a topic or something like that. And this was a topic. But this is such a big question that we've decided that we're actually going to do it as a podcast, a mini podcast, all of its own. So we can strip this down into a couple of parts. But every time I read this question and think about it, I think, that's got so many facets to it. So There's just too many facets. It's facets everywhere. Look, right. What makes you want to play a game? So forget about the other bit. So after that, she says, is it the graphics, the story, the replay value, all your friends are playing? So we can talk about all of that. But basically, what makes you want to play a game? So this is weird. This is a tricky question because wrapped into that could also be what makes you want to buy a console?
Mm. Yeah.
Or what makes you want to get into any particular arena of gaming?
What makes you do what you do?
Yeah.
What the thing is, it sounds like what makes you want to play a game? It sounds like a really simple question. And then when you think about it, it's like, reasons make me want to play a game.
And do you know what?
I don't know what those reasons are.
A really good example of that is, I watched footage of Division 2. Yeah, mm-hmm. from E3. Before we went to EGX, I watched footage of Division 2. Hadn't played it. Played Division 1, loved it. hadn't played Division 2, saw footage and kind of went, not sure if want. Yeah? Mm. Because have they screwed it up? Have they made a mess? I know that they made a mess of the launch of the original game, so have they potentially made a mess of the second one? And so I'm not really sure. Pretty sure I want to play it, but you know, I'm going to need to be a bit convinced. Then when we were at EGX, I saw Tricky Towers being played. Before I'd even sat down and played it, I saw somebody playing Tricky Towers. And I immediately went, I want to play that game.
Yeah.
I
know I'm going to enjoy it. I know I want to be sat there and playing that game.
I was going
to
say, I think we all did that about Tricky Towers, yeah. And less so what the golf, but that's because Lee kept saying, stop watching them playing it. You need to play it without watching.
Yeah.
Like, all right. Sorry,
stop
Dad.
Stop using your eyes. All right, look, are we going to break this down? Because we can ramble about this. We could ramble about this in a couple of different
ways. To be fair, we haven't actually answered the question yet.
We've talked about the question. This is the thing. What we're going to have to do is break it down a little bit, because there is a few factors, and you guys are going to have to add extra ones in, if you think about it. So a few factors. If you see a game, if you've not played a game before, yeah? Mm-hmm. There's a few factors for me that make me either go, yeah, I want to play that game, or, yes, I want to play that game, but not right now.
Yeah.
Or, no, I don't want to play that game. So, they are whether my friends are playing it.
Yeah.
What the graphics are like, which are both parts that she put in her question. Mm-hmm. So, whether my friends are playing it, what the graphics are like, how much it is.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so how much money.
That's
how
quite
much,
a big,
part of the equation.
That's
yeah,
quite a big
how much it's
contributing
gonna cost me.
Factor.
So she says the story and the replay value.
Depends on the game. Those.
Well, they're weird. Because that completely depends on the game. Because oftentimes games with story don't have any replay value.
Yeah.
If you're talking like Last of Us or something like that, or Heavy Rain. Yeah.
Well, for you guys, a good example would be Firewatch. Because I said to you, like, oh yeah, I really want to go back and play Firewatch again properly. And you were both like, I played it now.
Mm. Yeah, well, that was it. It's a story-driven game. It's like a book. Once you've read it and you know what's going to happen, there's got to be something special that happens that makes me want to go back to it. I do go back to books, and I have gone back to single-player games as well. But you've got to be really careful with story, and I've got to be honest, games like Skyrim and Fallout 4 have broken me. Right, look, let's break this down into those. Do you have any extra points? So other than who else is playing?
I wanted to talk about story again.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. So other than who else is playing, cost, story, platform is another one, which kind of goes into cost, because if you've got to buy a console to play it exclusively. Replay value,
I think,
and graphics.
Anything
other than those things that are a factor?
So it doesn't really, it's kind of the opposite of the question, but it sort of ties in. So one of the things for me is like playing with my friends. So the whole reason, like Catastronauts, for instance, I think looked brilliant, but I'm not going to go out and buy it because I don't have anyone locally that I could play it
same
with.
And it's couch.
Whereas as soon as it came online, and you can play online, I'll buy it instantly because I know that we will all play it together.
Okay, I've got a word for that then. So that's playability, I would say. Is that about right?
That's a feature.
I'd say that's playability.
It's features. That's whether it's...
Well, I don't know.
That's it.
No, because the playability of a game, if it relies on other people, if you're relying on the inclusion of other people to have fun...
I think that's all your friends are playing. And all your friends are playing can
maybe.
All your friends online.
All your friends are playing
your friends
at your house.
Locally,
Yeah, maybe. I don't want to add too many points to this. All right, look, right. So we've got all of our little points here. Oh, I need to write these down, otherwise I'm going to... Right, so graphics. I've got Notepad open. It's all right, don't panic. Graphics, story, replay value. All your friends are playing. Cost.
So all your friends are playing. Like, does that come under, like, the fear of missing out? Like, you want to play it because you don't want to feel like you're missing out on something?
Yeah, I think so, partly. Yeah, definitely.
Or is it all your mates are playing and they've all said, oh, do you know what, it's really good, you should get it and come and play with it.
There is that. There's also
this is why
there's
Fortnite's
also the dreaded
a successful
left behind
game.
Yeah, it is. There's also the dreaded Left Behind. So the dreaded Left Behind is, we've got a friend called Roy. You've met Roy. He was there at EGX this year. Right. Roy is a dreaded Left Behind. Yeah, this is what happens every single time. Yeah. In fact, Craig, one of my mates, Craig, is a dreaded Left Behind as well. What happens is we get a game, and we've played it for, you know, half a week or something to vet it, basically. Mm. And if we think we really like it and it's got expandability to include multiple other people, we will go to Roy and we'll go to Craig and we'll go to anybody else who's got a rig capable of playing whatever it happens to be. And we'll go, we're playing this. We've played it for a few days. We really like it. It is 30 quid, but it's worth the money. Mm. Yeah, if you're going to get on board, get on board now. And oftentimes what will happen is Roy will go, I haven't got the money this month. Or I'm in the middle of writing a book, which is a shitty excuse, frankly. Mm. or I've got loads of work on. Or Craig will go, you know, oh, I'm playing this game in a minute. I'm close to completing it, so I'm not going to get it. And then what will happen is, in a month's time, they'll go, right, brilliant, finish what I'm doing. I've just bought it.
And then we'll go...
And me and Lee will go, well, we're on something else now.
Yeah. You probably should check with that. We've had our 100 hours out.
How long do you think we've played the same game for? Yeah. One of the all your friends are playing it things is you've got to get it now, because if you wait, then your friends will have moved on to a different game.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I haven't bothered with games like the Destiny 2, for instance, because not many people that I know now are still playing it. Same with No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That even though they're only recently introduced multiplayer, I don't know many people playing it, so it's hardly worth me picking up. It's not worth me dropping 30, 40 quid on Destiny 2 or No Man's Sky or...
So this is a...
Different games have a different shelf life, though. So you have like an MMORPG that, you know, for instance, when WoW came along, that hung around like a bad smell for so many years, you could jump on board at any point. But there are other games. They burn out.
Sorry, Karen. I'm going to mix a couple of the factors here together, because all your friends are playing. So you've just mentioned a couple of games, No Man's Sky being one of them. We played No Man's Sky for quite a chunk of time. Yeah. Now you wouldn't have been able to play with us because you've got your Xbox, although you've now got your Xbox and you didn't have your Shadow at the time. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you'd got it on Xbox, you wouldn't have been able to play with us. Mm. So this ties into platform, and it ties into cost. One of the reasons, in my opinion, that Forza Horizon 4 is such a massive deal at the moment and so many people that we know are all playing it is because it's platform agnostic across Xbox and PC. And actually, we were playing with the XMVR guys the other day and all of them were on Xbox. We didn't know. And it didn't really matter.
Well,
apart from load times. You say that, but look at Sea of Thieves.
Yeah.
That's platform agnostic and there's not really that big a community.
Yeah, but the reason
I
don't want to play Sea of Thieves is because it's a bit shit.
Yeah.
What's the other? State of Decay.
State of Decay.
Because it's a bit broken.
Because it's a bit broken. That's the problem. Is State of Decay cross-platform as well as cross-play?
Yeah.
Can you play with somebody on an Xbox as well as,
because it's a Microsoft title.
Yeah. So this ties into, in my opinion, so platform and cost. A couple of people have said, God of War's amazing, right? So all your friends are playing. God of War's amazing. It's a single-player game. So it doesn't matter if I get it now. Because even if they finish playing it, I can wait a year, I can wait 6 months, I can wait however long, and I can play it then. Mm. Or I might be able to borrow it off them, because they don't need a copy at the same time, or whatever it happens to be. Plus, in this instance, I'd need to buy a PS4, or whatever it was. So multiplayer game, all your friends are playing, only really counts for multiplayer games. Right?
Yeah.
Do we need to add in it has to be good or, you know, quality?
No, it doesn't, though. It doesn't.
That's one thing that will decide whether I want to play a game or not. Because I won't want to play it because it's shit.
So the problem is quality is... how good a game is, it's like comedy. It's entirely subjective.
Yes.
So when WoW came out, as an example... Compared to some of the MMOs that have been on the market for years, like Lineage 2, City of Heroes, Ragnarok Online, WoW was a bag of crap. Yeah? The graphics were poor. It was dumbed down to shit.
In your opinion.
It was.
In your opinion.
It was. I almost exclusively played MMOs for about 6 years at this point. Yeah. Compared to all of those other games, WoW was crud.
You came to WoW quite
it
late.
It turned
though.
Out. No, I didn't. I started playing WoW when WoW first came out.
Oh, I thought you came in.
And I played it. I played it for 2 months and I stopped playing because I did not like it.
Right.
Now, later on in its life, WoW became incredible, in my opinion. It was absolutely fantastic. But everybody was talking about WoW.
I think the 10 million
everybody
people
was
that
saying
were playing
it was the best thing.
In the, between the 2 months that you played it and when you actually started playing it would disagree with that.
But they don't know. This is the problem. This is what I'm saying. They don't know. Just because they think that it's the best thing since slicey, slicey bread doesn't mean that if they had played EverQuest 2 or Lineage 2 or Ragnarok
Online...
Not necessarily,
because I played EverQuest 2. I didn't play Lineage 2. I played EverQuest 2 and I didn't think it was that good a game.
So, subjective.
Yeah, exactly. It's down
that's
to
exactly what
opinion.
I mean.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I mean. So the fact that everybody's playing it doesn't necessarily mean not necessarily that it's a good game.
Gives you a good,
but that it's the
indicator.
That it's the best game of its type. If I don't know, if 10,000 people suddenly started playing Grid 2, or I don't know, whatever the Colin McRae games are called now. And Forza Horizon 4 had a Forza Horizon 4 had a relatively small number of players on it. That doesn't necessarily mean that I would enjoy Dirt 2 more than I enjoy Forza Horizon. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Different types
it's
of
a bit,
games.
I don't know. Maybe WoW wasn't the best example there, but that's kind of what I mean. Just because loads of people are playing it, Fortnite is a good an example that's going on right now. Like, so many people love Fortnite, think it's absolutely amazing, but there are a couple of games out there that are in the same vein that I think, personally, are just way better. Way better. What's the... Realm Royale. Realm Royale, in my opinion, is a better Battle Royale game than Fortnite is. But it's different. It's a different thing, and people just don't... Because Fortnite's become such a great big monolithic thing, it's just accruing more players all the time.
They had the benefit of coming along afterwards and saying, what are they doing wrong? What would we like to see in that game? And
okay, yeah, but look, so let's look at the other game that came out, so PUBG.
Yeah.
They're both Battle Royale games. They both came out roughly the same time.
Yep.
But Fortnite has got a much higher player base than PUBG.
So
Don't get me wrong. They've both got massive player bases.
Yeah.
But Fortnite is the bigger game because it appeals to a younger fan base.
Well, there's a couple of big things there. Firstly, cost.
Yeah.
Fortnite's free.
Well, yes. I mean, that's the other big thing.
Fortnite's free. And the big thing with Fortnite being free is that anybody can download it to their Xbox, which, let's face it, a huge amount of the players are playing it on. If you've got a, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, and I think it's a ESRB 12 game.
Yeah. Well, it's not even... I mean, it's not even just the Xbox. You can download it on...
Yeah.
Well, you can download it on just about anything.
Yeah.
Because you can play it on... Now you can play it on the Switch, the PS4, mobile devices, but... Going back to the Forza Horizon platform agnosticity, is that a word?
Yeah, I think
I don't know. Going back to that, now you can play Fortnite with everyone else on all the other platforms. So
here's a thing, and Fortnite's such a great game to use for this, right? So we've just hit with Fortnite. All your friends are playing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Tick. Because every fucker in the world is playing Fortnite, it seems. Right? Platform. Tick. Because you can play it on any platform, and you can play with people on any platform, on any platform. Cost. Tick.
Oh,
it's free.
On a new category.
Yeah.
Hype.
Hype. But that kind of goes... That comes into
that
what your friends
with
are
the,
playing.
Yeah, that's true. And the fear of missing out.
Yeah.
So replay value. Now, I got a little bit bored of the repetitiveness of it personally, but I understand replay value in repetitive gaming because I played Rocket League for nearly 1,000 hours. So
that's when that's when games become a kind of sport, and you play sport for different reasons than you do than you play games with a narrative.
So replay value, tick. Graphics, it is made literally made by the people who make the Unreal Engine. using the latest in their graphics capabilities to the point where this thing will run on anything. It's running on mobile devices and it's running really well on mobile devices and it still looks really good. Cartoony graphics might not be for everybody, but still looks really good. So graphics is tick. And then the last thing, which is story, which we've got written down here. There is a story to Fortnite, kind of, and it's loose. But they do keep changing the map and they do keep putting in world events that everybody can be involved in. And they have a giant rift opening. So,
Do you mean in-game events or IRL?
Yes, in-game events. No, in-game events. They do actually have weird IRL bleedovers as well, like that that thing that somebody found in the desert.
Yeah, the burger thing.
The burger thing that somebody found in the desert and all kinds of stuff like that. So Fortnite, irritatingly, has just ticked basically every single category that we've got there.
Yep, and I played it the other day and I thought it could suck my butt. So it's fucking... Rubbish.
Maybe the question is, which of these categories is the one that weights most importantly in your decision?
It depends what you want. It depends what you want. Mm. And this is the thing, there's no harm in playing Fortnite and deciding you don't like it because you haven't spent any money. Yeah, but for me, probably, if it was a pay-for game, so let's ditch Fortnite now and shift over to PUBG. So, same game, same principle, same idea. Yeah, Battle Royale game, but you've got to pay for it. There's an upfront cost to this. So, the things that would get me, it's a more realistic looking game, and so graphics become a factor. But also, all your friends are playing. All your friends are playing, for me, I almost exclusively play multiplayer games right now. I can't remember the last time I played a single player only game. And... all your friends are playing is the key one. Maybe not all your friends are playing, but at least some of my friends are playing. I barely even play VR games unless it's a multiplayer game that we can play together.
Yeah, I probably play a few more single player games than you, but I have similar tastes now because we've kind of grown together. But the only reason that I got PUBG was because you got it. That's the only reason
That was a bit of a bust. That was not my finest hour.
I would definitely have got involved. Because of the hype surrounding Fortnite, I definitely would have picked it up at some point. Even if you hadn't have mentioned it, I probably would have been the driving one behind it. Just to give it a go, because it's free.
Yeah. So, I mean, I've got a couple of problems with Fortnite. We'll move away from Fortnite, but I've got a couple of problems with Fortnite. From a gameplay point of view. My biggest issue with Fortnite, realistically, is that there's no ranking system.
And it's terrible.
Well, there's no ranking system in Fortnite. That's my biggest issue. So there is no way of making sure that you're in a game with people who are around your skill level.
Yeah.
That haven't been playing it for
forever and ever and ever. Yeah.
Since they're in the womb.
So
and some of them still are.
That's the opposite question. That's what makes me not want to play a game.
Yeah, that is an opposite.
That people
thing.
Are better
so
than
So there's
me.
Reviews. The reviews is another thing that we've not actually mentioned in this at all. But reviews of a game.
Yeah.
Right, I can probably ex-nay this pretty quickly. Do either of you listen to reviews at all? Do you pay almost any attention to written reviews online about games?
Nope.
Or a movie?
I give up. Nope. I pay absolutely no attention.
Do you know, the only time...
Critical reviews.
The only time I get...
Critical reviews.
The only time I get involved in listening and watching and reading reviews is after I've made the decision. It's usually just to justify my purchase.
I get that. Yeah. And then you only find reviews that side with what you decided in the first place.
Yep.
Yeah.
I don't.
I will listen to peer reviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I will pay attention to people who I follow and trust on Twitter or other places or podcasts with people on that we know. And even then, you know, not everybody's got similar tastes, so it doesn't... If they're the kind of person who can break down the reasons that they didn't like a game or did like a game, then... If they say, I didn't like it because of this, and I've got enough about me to kind of go, well, actually, I kind of like that element of a game, so I'm okay. So reviews are actually probably the smallest factor.
All your friends are playing, that can be two different things. So all of your friends are playing can mean I need to get this game so that I can play with my friends. But it could be a single-player game that they've played, and I want to play it because they've played it so that I can talk to them about it and experience what they've experienced.
So going on peer reviews and all my friends are playing it, which kind of go hand in hand, you guys both play a lot of Rocket League. I tried playing Rocket League and I just wouldn't play it. I just can't play it because, one, I'm not very good at it. So as an offshoot of that, I don't enjoy it.
Yeah.
Whereas, so Forza Horizon 4, we all play together. Again, I'm not very good at it, but I still enjoy playing it, and I will happily play it on my own. Rocket League, if I mean, I wouldn't play it with you guys, so I absolutely wouldn't play it on my own.
No. The problem with Rocket League is because it's a competitive game. So Forza Horizon, while it is a competitive game, the majority of the races you're playing co-op, and you don't have to play against other people. You're playing against drivatars. And it's entirely set up so that if somebody... Now, I say that you can carry people, but actually, a lot of the time, if you miss one checkpoint, you are fucked in that game.
Yeah.
So if you miss one... And it happens to me. I'll be doing okay. I'll miss a checkpoint. Suddenly, I'm right at the back of the pack, and I won't catch up for the entire rest of the race. So I rely on whoever I'm playing with to basically come first or come high up in the rankings. And we end up basically winning the race. The problem with stuff like Rocket League, if you're not playing that well, or if you've come to a competitive game like that later than your friends and you're not as well versed in it, you'll feel like you're letting the whole team down and dragging everybody down, and that will make you feel even worse about the game.
Yeah.
Which
is
why a ranking system in games like Fortnite, I think, is really important, but it's not something that they do.
Mm. Yep.
Right, look, I want to order a couple of things here. I want to order them from, like, most important to least important. So, graphics. Can we basically agree that graphics is possibly one of the lowest important things next to reviews?
It is the least important for me.
I wouldn't say it's for me. No, always the least
I qualified
important.
It, so I said for me, it is the least important.
Yep. And I want to put story kind of near that as well. And only because there are only certain types of games that need story. And sometimes you end up with games that have shoehorned in a load of story where there simply doesn't need to be any.
I get that. If it's a kind of game that needs story, then it moves up the list quite high.
Yeah, exactly. And these are all, you know, they're transitory. They'll move around depending on the type of game that you're playing. But very rarely, Last of Us, as an example for Last of Us, I saw Last of Us and I thought, God, these graphics look amazing. It looks like a really cool interactive story that I get to be involved in. But it's got great voice acting and this, that, and the other. I want to play this. It looks like something I want to play. Because, no, Last of Us.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So for that game, they become really important. But because it's a single-player game, all your friends are playing and is not important. Because it's platform exclusive, platform isn't really important. Replay value, you're probably only going to get one playthrough.
Yeah, if story is high, replay value goes low.
Replay value goes low, yeah. But for the kinds of games that I'm playing at the minute, story is low. If it was Elle, for example, I think she might play story a little bit higher.
Yeah.
But for the kind of games that I'm playing at the minute, story is quite low. If it's important, then it moves up, it's transitory. Right, so the next one is replay value. Actually, do you know what? Actually, I think replay value needs to be higher than that.
Well, no, because if you take A Way Out as an example, we're only going to play that once. But it was still amazing value, in my opinion.
No, replay value has got a couple of other things, though.
I don't know, because I think Ross and I will potentially go back and play that again, because we're playing it at the moment. I mean, I would happily go back and play A Way Out again, just so I could take the time to go around and look at stuff that I might have missed originally.
Yeah, that's true.
So, like you guys were saying about a couple of mini games in it that I think you both missed.
Yeah, Connect Four.
The Connect Four and the arcade machines.
And the choices that you made that were different to the choices that we made and things like that.
That's quite interesting, because they actually put those things in to give the game replay value. And Joseph Farris's other game, Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, that has loads of points in the game. Almost every node in the game has a point in it that you can do slightly different things. And they made quite a big deal out of that. But if you play through it, you get to the end, and you get to the end of that story, I don't feel that... I'm not the sort of person... I'm not a completionist. I don't feel that I'm obliged to go back and see everything in the game. I'd quite like to, but if it's going to be even lower value for me then at that point, I'm not going to be so interested.
Yeah.
So here I'm going to throw a bit of a thing in.
Uh-oh.
Here. You guys are playing A Way Out because we spoke about it, right?
Yes.
Are your friends
Yeah.
Playing?
had we not spoken about it, and having seen the game and the graphics and the fact that it's got story and all the rest of it, would you have played it?
Possibly.
But the fact that we've played it and we spoke about the fact that you only have to buy one copy of it and that we played and all the rest of it.
That was a big deciding factor.
Cost, then. Yeah, because only one of you needs to buy the game. The other one, when you get invited to play the game, it downloads to your console for free. You don't need to own two copies.
Yeah.
Which is just genius.
Mm. Yeah.
It's more value than cost, I'd say.
So a game like that, interestingly, you've gone and got it, or you've played it, or not necessarily because all your friends are playing, but because your friends are talking about it. But also then replay value for a game like that comes in more in you're talking about it. If I'm having a bunch of people, if I'm in a pub and we're all sitting around having a chat about games and stuff like that, I will talk about games like A Way Out. I won't talk about Tricky Towers because it's Tetris. Yeah. I won't talk about Gang Beasts because it's a beat-em-up. I won't talk, you know, there's a bunch of games that don't lend themselves to conversation. But A Way Out has got so many moments in it that it's easy to talk about. It's easy to kind of get people excited about the game. So from that point of view, all your friends are talking about it, all your friends are playing, bleeds into replay value, which is more kind of memory value. It's more of a, do you remember that time we did this, or do you remember that time we snuck that thing through the metal detector? And it's just that's the replay value. You're replaying the game in your mind. It also goes to cost for that particular game as well. Look, so at the minute I've got least important is reviews, then next to that is graphics, then story, which I think is a little bit arguable, but and we say graphics aren't important. I want to qualify that. Actually, graphics aren't important because certain games just don't need graphic. They don't, you know, FTL, Papers, Please. These kind of games are the kind of games that they are because of the graphics style that they decided to use.
You can say the same about story, can't you? It's all of these things move about. I get that.
The difficulty is when a game has attempted to put really shiny graphics in.
But got it wrong.
And it's failed. Yeah. Yeah. So there was one particular game, and I'm not going to name it, but there was one particular game from EGX this year where they had obviously decided that they wanted to make quite a polished-looking game. And rather than going 2D, they'd gone 3D, and they'd used full... They tried to use Unreal Engine, and they tried to do this, that, and the other. And, Frank, it just didn't work. It did not
work.
Did
this have VR in it as well?
No, it wasn't the VR one. It was was another one. It was in Transfuser section, and it just didn't work. They'd obviously, in their mind, the appearance of the game, the graphics of the game were paramount. They were really important, and they clearly spent way more time trying to make them look good than they had on the rest of their game. And that's when it's not important. That's the part where it goes wrong. Right, replay value. Excuse me, can you bear with me one moment?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
We'll be right back after this idiot.
After this cough. Oh. Actually, I needed this. Ta-da!
He's back.
Right then. So
replay value, you said. Do that again.
Replay value. So, replay value. Actually, before we go to that, platform. I've got platform and cost written down here. They kind of lead into each other, because if it's a platform you don't own, there's extra cost because you're potentially going to have to buy a new console or whatever.
I don't think platform is something that I think of when I'm thinking, do I want to play that game? it's not going to be part of the decision, because if I haven't got that platform, I'm just not going to play that game.
Yeah, and if all of your friends have got that game, but they're playing on Xbox and you don't have an Xbox, that leads back to all your friends are playing. Yeah.
Basically.
Get better friends without Xboxes. Okay, so we're going to get rid of platform altogether.
No, I
wouldn't get rid of it. Because...
putting it back in.
So, Red Dead Redemption 2, for example. I'm going to get that on the Xbox One. Because I want the convenience and...
You don't want to play with us.
I do want to play with you guys. Same with Fallout 76. I would love to be able to get that on the PC, but I just don't think I would enjoy it as much as if I got it on the Xbox.
No, and also games like that lend themselves. They are a one-to-one relationship between you and whatever you're playing it on. It doesn't matter what it is at that point.
I think Fallout 76, maybe, but... Yeah, less so with Fallout 76. And chances are, because it's a multiplayer, it will be multiplayer. I might pick it up on the PC like I did Rainbow Six and The Division.
Yeah.
We could play it together. But
so like graphics and story, platform is a factor, but it's not the deciding factor.
No. I think it's...
Right. Is it slightly more important than graphics and story, or less important? Is it up there with reviews?
I honestly don't. I don't factor it because, for instance, Spider-Man, I do want to play it, so it makes me want to play a game. I suppose that is the question. So,
but you have all the platforms.
But I'm not.
It's different for you.
But I don't play my PS4. I'm not going to buy it. I suppose that's cost value because it's 50 odd quid.
So platform is relative. I'm going to put platform relatively low, right? Look, there's another thing that's cropped up there, which I don't really want to be adding to this list because this podcast is going to run on for ages and ages. But I suddenly, as Lewis was talking then, a really important thing cropped up, which I hadn't thought about and we hadn't put on the list. So he suddenly said, okay, so Fallout 76 and Red Dead Redemption and this, that and the other and all the rest of it. Pedigree is a big thing. We don't know that Red Dead Redemption is going to be good. We don't know that it's going to be good.
Do.
But let's face it's gonna be. It's going to be good.
That's quite an edge case, though, because you don't. Most games you don't
Well,
know.
Not necessarily, because GTA. If a new GTA game came out, if a new Forza game came out,
there are certain franchises that I trust.
But then look at Fallout 4, for example. So I knew that Fallout 4 was going to be good before it came out. And then I played it, and it was mediocre at best. Mm.
Yeah, I don't think I know anybody who's finished Fallout 4.
It's a slog.
Well, yeah, I mean, to be honest, I finished Fallout 3 probably four or five times. I've finished New Vegas two or three times, and I still haven't finished Fallout 4.
Same.
But yeah, I don't know. Again, I think that's probably going to be quite a high deciding factor for me, because if I've played previous games in a franchise, then and I've really enjoyed them. So like, if a new GTA game came out, I would almost immediately buy it because I've played previous GTA games, and I thought they were good. I mean, GTA 4 probably less so, but. GTA 5 I thought was excellent.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
So,
and that goes into all your friends are playing and they all wrap in together, but pedigree isn't just necessarily the game franchise, but it could be the company that's making it. So if Bethesda are coming out with a game, you're relatively sure that you're on a hot bet. If there are a couple of companies out there that if they're aligned with a game, there's a pretty good chance that you're going to be getting something, if not exactly what you want to play, but the best version of itself. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
If they say you are getting a driving game in which you get to get out of your car and shoot people, you will get the best version of
Forza.
The driving game that you can get out of the car and shoot people.
I suppose it's probably an outlier. Despite really enjoying it, L.A. Noire.
Yeah.
That is a 1920s crime drama, but it's not the best version of a 1920s crime drama that
No, I'd agree with that.
Can we can we just pause a sec? You're getting a lot of rustling on your...
Yeah, we're getting a bit of rub on your microphone.
Oh, that's probably on my beard. go on.
No,
you're saying L.A. Noir.
Go on.
So L.A. Noir's not the best example of a 1920s crime drama that's out there. But it's still a good game.
It's still a good game. No, I do kind of take your meaning there.
And like I said, it's one of the outliers of the this kind of deciding factor of pedigree. Like if L.A. Noir 2 came out, I'd still go out and buy it. Mm.
Yeah,
but that's purely because one, I'd want to play it, and two, because I actually quite enjoyed L.A. Noir.
You're feeding the sequel machine.
So.
Well, as an example for L.A. Noir, there is a VR L.A. Noir game.
Yeah.
I can't remember the name of it now, but it
LA
basically
Noir,
you go
L.A. Noir,
VR.
L.A. Noir VR.
VR files. Something like that,
yeah,
is it?
Yeah, it is.
And it's L.A. Noir, but you get to like question people in an interrogation room in VR. I think that's basically
it. No, it's the whole game.
And do funny shit with. And do funny
it's the whole
shit.
Game.
I think there are certain missions that they still haven't added, but they're going to. Or certain
you
cases.
You can drive around.
You can drive around in it. You can do the whole thing. Apparently,
holy shit, I didn't
know
that.
It's amazing, and I really want it, but I've just never got around to playing it.
Because I was a bit flat on L.A. Noir. Mm. This was the thing. That's exactly what Lewis was saying. Right, so pedigree is an important... I think pedigree is a really important factor, and Red Dead, for example, is going to sell itself alone on pedigree. Even though there really haven't been that many reviews or anything out about it now, a lot of people are getting really hyped, and it leads back into All Your Friends Are Playing, which I don't think is really... All Your Friends Are Playing, I don't think, is the right... So probably peer something? I don't know. We'd have to change the wording or something like that, but... Pedigree is relatively important. I would say that pedigree is a 4. Okay, fine. Cost.
That's quite high. For me, that's quite high.
Yeah. Again, the problem is a lot of these are on a sliding scale because... Yeah.
It's value, not
and
cost.
And it's all... Yeah, and it...
Mm. No, it's... Well, for an example of this it's Red Dead Redemption 2. It's going to cost like 50-odd quid when it comes out, is it? Something like that.
Yeah, probably.
But yeah,
I can see that's going to be good value for my time. That I'm going to.
Well, they've already said that it's 60 hours worth of campaign. Yeah. Yeah, which with all the side quests and all the rest of it, you're staring down the barrel of 120 hours minimum in this game. I would imagine.
Yeah,
plus multiplayer.
Yeah?
Which is not you know, a lot of people had sucked their teeth at that, but look at how much time people are putting into Fortnite. I mean, my first playthrough of Final Fantasy VII was 78 hours. So it's not a new thing. Mm. It's not crazy amounts of time. But cost, so I've always maintained my equation is if I get 1 hour for every pound I spent on the game, I've got my money back. I've got my value for money. So if it's a £50 game and I'm going to get 50 hours out of it minimum, then I've got my money's worth. But you've got to, it's tricky when it's a £50 game, when it's up at that high, the risk is that you might not like it at all.
It's definitely a sweet spot, and £50 is quite a way outside my comfort zone.
Especially for PC gamers, because, I mean, for quite a long time, and it's a bit different now, but for quite a long time, one of the biggest draws for PC gamers is that when a new game came out, it was like £50 on Xbox, £50 on PlayStation, £28 on PC.
It's something else that draws against me buying something or being interested in buying something. And again, Red Dead Redemption is coming out next week, or will already be out by the time we release this. I'm thinking to myself, I've actually got quite a lot on. I've got games that I need to be playing. There's things that I'm interested in I don't really want to ignore. So
yeah.
And so I will get it, but I'm going to wait until I've finished all those things, and then it might be a bit cheaper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or it's a single player game, and I know a person that owns an Xbox, and I'll just get them to lend it to me when they're done, which is where digital downloads are a real bitch. Mm. I've got to be perfectly honest. Digital downloads are... The whole sharing things with your friends is a bugger now,
but
with digital downloads.
Not having to put that disc in is really nice.
I'd actually say that cost is a really big factor.
Yes.
Really big. Because even though I'm at a point in my life right now where if I needed to, if I had to, I could drop £50 on a game. But Christ, I wouldn't. unless there was a really good reason. Unless the graphics were amazing, the story was fantastic, all of my friends were playing, it had massive replay value, the platform was right. Do you know what I mean? Unless all of those things fell into alignment, if it was £50, I'd really think twice.
Don't play it, blowjob.
Yeah, but then we're going back to... So we're going to the other end of that, and we're looking at cheap or free games, then I'm not going to go out... I'm not going to play Fortnite. It doesn't matter how many of the other boxes it ticks.
Hmm. You don't want to play it. It's not your kind of
game. It's free, and I'm not going to play it.
All right, I'll put... But then in the same vein, and the difficulty here is, that in the same vein, you've got Red Dead Redemption at £50.
And yeah.
Call of Duty, Black Ops, whatever the fuck number they're on now, at £50.
Yeah.
You drop 50 on Red Dead Redemption, right?
Absolutely.
But you wouldn't on Call of Duty.
No.
But other people are completely the other way around. So this is where the other factors come into play.
That's because they're fucking idiots.
But it's value to you, isn't it? It's what Lee was saying. It's not the cost of the game. It's the value to you. You know you're going to get your value out of Red Dead.
Yeah.
So to you, £50 is worth it. Yeah, and you know that because of factors like your friends have spoken about it. It's got pedigree. You've seen the graphics. You see, you know the fact that it's going to have a great story because of the previous game. All of the other factors are making the cost worth the value for you.
Are we building a scoring system here for reviewing future
we
games?
We kind of are. We've got like a Matrix thing going on. Not like a Keanu Reeves thing. Like, I mean, like a mathematical job. I think cost is a really important factor, but when so many of the other things fall into alignment, it becomes less and less and less important. So if you say, right, cost is stopping me from buying this game, so on a sliding scale, cost is now stopping me from buying this game, but the graphics are really good, so now I'm going to knock that sliding scale down a little bit, and I'm slightly more inclined to buy it. And the story's really good, and I know that because the pedigree of the previous entry in that series was excellent. Right, sliding scale moves down a little bit more. My friends are all playing it. Sliding scale moves a bit more. To the point where the cost factor is so low that you go, I've got to get this game. Yeah. Don't care that it's £50. I'm just going to go ahead and buy it. So actually, all of the other factors are intrinsic to cost.
Hmm. Yeah, they're all intrinsic to each other. I mean, they all link to each other.
Okay. Okay, so let's take Minecraft, for example. So, graphics aren't really that special.
Yep. You could say that.
That's Sorry? A polite way of saying they're say a that. Bit shit.
Yeah, the graphics are a bit crap. Crap by design.
Yeah.
They're crap by design. So, that then rules graphics out of that scenario. It is multiplayer, but you can also play it single player, and there is a vague story to it.
Yeah.
So you can pretty much take... so you can take it off for both of those. I'm not really sure where I'm going with my point.
It has amazing...
Well, all your friends
replay value. So I was kind of moving, trying to move away from the graphics thing. So that ticks all those other boxes.
And it slides the cost slider down. Well, the thing is, Minecraft, as an example, is like, what, $17.99 at the minute? It might be cheaper than that.
Yeah.
But so there's less of a slider to move than a £50 game. So, all right, the graphics might not be that good, so the slider doesn't move, and there's not really much story to speak of, so the slider doesn't move. But the replay value is huge. All your friends are playing. It's on every platform. Well, replay value for Minecraft is really
hundreds
big.
Hundreds and hundreds
really
of hours.
Really big. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
but are there,
that
though?
Slides it down.
How many... So, talking about us in particular, how many times have we gone back to Minecraft, we've played it for one evening, and then not played it again?
The difficulty is that at the point when you guys were getting into Minecraft, or we were attempting to get all of us into Minecraft, I'd already sunk well over 1,500 hours into it.
Right.
I'd play Minecraft again now.
Okay, so that kind of goes to my point that it... Vaguely, it's not replayable for you.
No, well, there's got
not
to be
anymore.
A threshold. No, there's got to be a threshold. Replayability goes to a point, and then I'm happy after 1,500 hours. I'm happy. I don't feel like I need to go back to it because I feel like I've got my game's worth out of it that point. It is a shame.
1,500 hours.
To go back, you're a bit done with it.
Is saying that it's got replay value.
Yeah,
it must have.
Yeah, it does, and it only does if you enjoyed it in the first place. That's the difficulty. That's the thing. That's the tricky thing. And also, I played it with mods, and it all changes everything. Mm. Right, look, cost is really important. I'm gonna read through these afterwards, but I'm gonna put cost high. I'm gonna put cost up at a 3. Right, and then replay value. I'm also replay value is a sliding one, because depending on the type of game, there's no replay value at all. There is a little bit of talk about it to your friends' value, but there might not be a lot of replay value. So other games, like Minecraft or Rocket League or Fortnite, replay value is intrinsic. If they don't have that, then they don't have a game.
Yeah, but then we're looking at this, the kind of graph of... So as story goes up, replayability goes down.
Goes down, yeah, yeah.
But as story goes down, replayability goes up. So there's going
to
be...
to go up. If it doesn't go up, then you don't get your value in the game, and it's not worth the cost. This is
your formula.
This is what we've ended up with. There's your formula. Right, okay, so what I've ended up with, weirdly, in last place, critical reviews. We have said, and stop me if any of these are wrong, we've said that critical reviews are the least important factor in us deciding whether or not we're going to get a game. Yeah. Other reviews, peer reviews we might look at, but critical reviews we're not interested in. Graphics is at number 6. That is the next least important part. I'm not actually sure that needs to be that low. It makes us sound like we're not as fickle as we are. I'm actually slightly more fickle than that. I will look at some graphics and go, do you know what, no. So that might need to be a little bit higher, but I think what we meant when we put it that low was if the game has been designed to not need... Yeah, if the game has been designed to not need graphics like Minecraft, then it doesn't matter. If it has been designed to have good graphics and they're actually shit, then it does matter. Then next in least importance, we've got story and platform we've put next to each other.
Yeah.
Right? Then pedigree and replay value. Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Then cost, which is the second to most important factor. And the most important factor from everything that I've just noted down while we've been going is all your friends are playing. And actually, I don't think that's the right wording. All your friends are playing isn't the right wording. All your friends are talking about it, or peer...
community.
I don't know. Peer review, or something similar to that. But basically, you trust... It's like books. It's like anything. Like... I wouldn't go to watch
recommendations.
It's recommendation. It's peer recommendation. That's exactly what it is.
But then does that then tie into a review, or are we looking at? Are we just
if it's non-critical?
Are we talking solely about a critical review?
No, in reviews, I've pegged it solely as critical reviews.
Right. Okay.
So I mean, there's people that we trust, but I wouldn't want them to write an article about a game, right?
Yeah, true.
But if I see them playing something for ages, or if they come to me and tell me that they've been playing something and they really enjoy it, I'll trust them because I know that our tastes are similar and all the rest of it. So...
Yeah.
Hang on, I'm just...
The beard's getting in the way.
Little bit of beard interference again.
Okay. Okay. That's
all right, cool. Right, so after all of that, unless anybody wants to change any of these around, and it's difficult, we can't change them around too much. I think graphics possibly needs to be a little bit higher, and I'll tell you why. Graphics, I think, for example, if you're going to go for pixelated graphics, they need to be good pixelated graphics. If you're going to go for hand-drawn vector graphics or whatever, they need to be good. They need to be the right, you know, a good example of that graphics style. If you're going to go for 3D, they need to be good 3D graphics. If you decide that you want to go pixelated and your pixel artist is crud, if you decide that you want to go hand-drawn and your hand-drawn artist is crud, or if you want to go 3D and the person that's doing your 3D modelling is crud, then the game will look crap. So graphics is actually a bit more important than I think we put down here.
Okay. I've got an experiment.
Okay. Hang on, before we go on to your experiment, I've just thought of another factor.
Uh-oh. Oh, no. This podcast is going to be 14 hours long.
So, difficulty.
Oh, that's difficult, though, because you don't know how difficult it's going to be.
Yeah.
Until you've played it.
Okay, so Bloodborne and...
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. So, they both look amazing.
True. Yeah, he's got a point.
They both rank pretty highly in peer recommendations. I can't remember what any of the
I'm gonna right so I'm
are.
gonna I'm going to hit back at this a little bit. So a couple of things. Firstly, Dark Souls looks like a bag of trash. And anybody who tells me...
Yeah, the original one does, and I would imagine that the... So Dark Souls 3, Bloodborne, and what the... And the remastered, two games will probably look even nicer.
I don't think they do. I think they still look like a bag of trash. However, this goes back to a big thing, replay value. And we've put that quite high in our list. And then cost, which goes to value as well. But people like Roy, Roy loves those kind of games. He loves the Dark Souls games. But he likes the punishing difficulty of it. And the punishing difficulty is what gives the game its replay value. You keep going and you keep slamming yourself against the same enemies or the same parts of the game over and over and over again to get better, to get stronger, to get more souls.
He likes to hurt himself.
But that is where the replay value in the game comes in. And if you enjoy that kind of thing and that's where you're getting your value out of the game, then that's the replay value. And we put replay value really high, and so I think we're right. Okay. I think we're right there.
Can I do my experiment now?
Oh, my God, okay.
So... you went through the different categories, and your categories are slightly different in order to mine. I don't think graphics are that important to me. You do; they're a bit higher importance to you. And Lewis wants to add some more categories as well, but that's all fine. What was the last game that you paid for?
Forza.
Mine was Bleed 2.
Okay.
Which doesn't have amazing graphics. It's like 8-bit graphics.
I want to go back to...
Didn't have all my friends playing it. Had very good value. No story.
Doesn't have amazing graphics, though. Stop talking. Stop. We need to explain why you're wrong. Lewis, you do it first, and then I'll tell him afterwards.
Well, what I was going to say was... So, you said what... Moving away from these points slightly... You said, what's the last game that you paid for? Mm. Well, the only reason I'm playing Forza at the moment, chances are I probably would have bought it had Game Pass not been a thing, but the only reason I'm playing it at the moment is because it's on the Game Pass.
Value.
Yeah.
So, right.
Yeah, it's value.
Yeah, so that feeds into value. But, okay, so, Rich, what was the last game that you bought with actual money?
Outside of Forza?
Outside of Game Pass.
Crap, the basket. What was the last game I played? Do you know, I don't know. Hang on. Let me sort my Steam library.
Okay, so mine was actually Minecraft for Android.
Mm.
Because I bought, off the back of Shadow, I bought a clip for my Xbox controller, which immediately connects to my Android phone, that I have solely for playing games on and using my Shadow box on. But in the end, I got a bit fed up, and I bought Minecraft for Android so I could play it on my phone with my controller.
Was it Human Fall Flat, Rich?
Actually, it might have been. Was that more recent than Beat Saber?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, Human Fall Flat. That would have been the last game that I paid cashy money for, I think. And again, I did that, not because all my friends are playing, but because all my friends were about to play. Yeah. We'd all decided that we wanted a game that we wanted to all try together, and a bunch of us bought Human Fall Flat and played it at the same time.
So that's kind of preemptive peer recommendation.
Yeah, preemptive peer recommendation, or peer experimentation together. Well, yeah, we'd all seen it, we'd all decided that was something that we wanted to give a go. And it was low cost. Yeah, it was low cost, and supposedly it's got high replay value. Well, it didn't really take with us, I don't think. But
so that would be the lemming effect. One of you has gone, "Oh, let's all play this," and then you've all picked it up.
Yeah,
and then you've all run off a cliff. Yeah.
I think before, literally in Human Fall Flat. I think before that might have been Beat Saber.
Yeah,
and again with Beat Saber, Lee bought it, played it, went shit the bed, mate. You got to get this, and I went, not sure if want. And I played it on Steam Share on his account, and I played it for probably 10 minutes, and then he took his account back because he'd come back from whatever he was doing, so it kicked me out, and I bought it. I had to buy it. Right, look. So these will get jiggled around a little bit But her original question, Edge of Heaven's original question was, what makes you want to play a game? So we've spoken about all of the factors, yeah? For me, then, based on all of that debating, the most important factor is peer review. So all your friends are playing, which is how she's termed it in the tweet, but I would say peer review. The fact that they're all playing, or they all want to play, or they all have played in the past, or the da-da-da-da-da. That will take precedent for me over cost, replay value, pedigree, platform, story, graphics, and critical reviews. Is that, does that sound about right to you guys?
Perfect, spot on for me.
That's exactly the same for me.
Yeah,
I would happily play a game that I hadn't considered previously if, say, you, Lee, and Ross and Elor went, oh, right, okay, so we're going to play this game. It's six player. Are you going to get it? I'll go, okay. The other factors would play into that, but more than likely I would pick it up.
But if we said, all six of us are going to play it, yeah, and it's £5.
Yep. You're in.
You'd go, yep. Yeah, so that's so it's the swing factor, isn't it?
Yeah, so
if you said all of us are going to play it and it's £50, you then look at the replay value, the pedigree, the platform, the story.
Yeah.
You'd look at the other things, wouldn't you? But if it's £5, if the value is high enough, the cost is low enough, and your friends are playing, then you're right in straight away.
I don't think there's any... I can't think of a situation where all my friends are playing doesn't come into the equation really high. It's always going to be
I'm
going to
call this
there.
Peer review. Yeah. I'm going to call this peer review because I think it fits a bit more because they're talking about it. They have played it in the past. They want to play it. Because your friends, and this is the important thing. And I think this is the reason that this is probably the biggest factor for me. If my friends are talking about a game, if Lee's talking about a game, if Lewis is talking about a game, if Craig is or Roy are talking about a game, and they're going, I want to get this. When this comes out, I want to get
Dark Souls.
The likelihood is that they have already considered the cost, the replay value, the pedigree, the platform, the story, the graphics, and the critical reviews. They have already been through all the phases of those things. Subconsciously, they probably haven't ranked it like we have, but they've gone through all of those factors, and they've decided that they still want to get that game. And then somebody else, another one of my friends, will do the same thing, and they'll go through all those factors. So you've kind of got a consensus system going on where you, between all of your peers, are making a quorum and saying, we have collectively factored all of these different points, and we've all decided that this is the game that we want to get.
If you follow the crowd's mentality, usually you don't fall foul unless you come up against Sea of Thieves.
As long as they're trusted crowd. That's the difference. That's why it's peer. That's why it's not randos out there that are playing crappy-ass games. And peer is really important because they're the people in your circle that have probably got similar interests. In Elle's circle, she might have people who are into horror games and who are into more story-driven games or the spoopy side of things and all the rest of it. In our side, we're possibly a little bit more action-y or competitive or whatever.
Sports ball stuff.
Sports and all the rest of it. And in his circle, with the kind of people he hangs around with, he's probably got other people that are going to make those similar kinds of decisions based on sports ball. Yeah. You just said that Ross doesn't have any friends.
Did, but I don't. I'm kind of regretting it.
To be fair, Ross has openly admitted that he doesn't like playing with other people.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
I honestly.
Right, okay. We need to call this podcast to
hang on a minute.
Because this was originally
Stop it. We've got part two coming up now. Oh. What makes you not want to play a game? Ready?
No, we're not doing that now. No, we're not doing it. No. Go. You go. Go home. Right. Look. We've gone through it. We've listed them out. I think everybody's is going to be slightly different. As Lewis said earlier, this is a sliding scale, and they move around depending on the type of game and how important those things are. If it's a story-based game, story moves up in importance. If it's a story-based game that doesn't rely on graphics, like Thomas Was Alone or something like that, then graphics goes down, story goes up. It's all sliding around depending on the type of game it is. But we, I think, have agreed peer review
science.
Is the biggest factor. Science. Scientifically,
science
we have proven... Yeah. We have proven that peer review is the largest factor in buying a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and peer review can mean anything from close friends to people that are in your circle to people that have got the who are on Twitter or any other social media that have got similar interests to you, who you trust the opinion of. podcasts, Everyman Podcasts, who you trust the opinion of and don't necessarily do critical reviews in that way. Those kind of places are where you're going to get the best, most trusted information to base your decision on, because they have already been through all of those other factors and they've made their decision with all of those in mind. Right. Are we happy with that as a roundabout juggled answer?
Yep. Yeah, underlined.
Right. I'm just going to say this now. We're not going to do a one-hour podcast for every single time somebody asks us a question on Twitter.
Or ever again.
No.
Oh, ever again. Ever again. But no, this was a good question. Yeah, no, I actually really liked it. It's really nice to have a debate every now and again. We've spoken about tons of different games, actually. It's really nice to bring all of these different experiences and games and things in to prove the point that we've decided to come up with.
If you can come up with a question as good as that, we'll do it again. But I...
Yeah.
Not for a few
prove
months.
Me wrong.
No, not for a while. God, I need to cool down a little bit. Right, look. Is that us? Has anybody got anything else they want to say based on any of that or in closing?
No.
No, I don't think so. I mean, my kind of final point is I think it's all relative and it's all subjective or
subjective.
Both. Depending on what's going... Well, it could be both.
Yeah, I suppose both. Because... Like, Lee has said that platform doesn't really matter to him, whereas platform matters to me quite highly. Graphics matter to Rich quite highly, but to be honest, I'm really not that bothered. Neither is Lee. I'm sure there is probably a... even when something ranks quite highly in all of those categories, again, coming back to Fortnite... That doesn't necessarily mean that I'm going to want to play that.
No, exactly. Because, and that goes straight back to peer review. The people that you know that like similar games to you don't like it, then chances are pretty good you're not going to like it either.
Yeah, but then I know a lot of people who really enjoy Fortnite and play it quite a lot.
Yeah.
And would recommend it and say that it's brilliant.
Be grateful that you dodged a bullet with Fortnite because it's free. Imagine if you spent 50 quid. Right.
Well, yeah, exactly. So yeah, like according to our scale, it's realistically it's a perfect game. When actually for us it's quite the opposite.
So there's a final thing that I wasn't going to mention this, and we do need to end this podcast, but I'm going to throw it out there really quickly right at the end. And it's a really important one, actually. I'm surprised that none of us have brought it up before. I thought about it a little bit earlier on, but experience. So we've all been playing games for a long-ass fucking time now.
Mm-hmm.
Collectively, almost as long as the Union.
Yeah.
So we've got, collectively, quite a wealth of experience in the kinds of games that we want to play, that we like, the kinds of things that we enjoy or don't enjoy in games, the pitfalls, and, we've got pretty good at looking at a game and going, nah, that's not my kind of thing. Or, you can judge a book by its cover, you can judge a game by all of these different things that we've said. But after you've got a bit of experience in whatever it happens to be, you use that and you make a decision.
You do. You look at a game and you do it without thinking. You do it unconsciously. You have all of these things in the back of your mind and they're all weighing in their own... They're all impinging on your unconscious mind and saying... Well, I'm important. This, you should get the game because of this. And something else is saying, the value might not be good. Yeah, but it's a bit expensive. I'm not going to get that much out of it. So you make this decision without thinking about it half the time.
But then from experience, you'll go, okay, so this is a survival game. And I got a lot of time out of Rust. And I got a lot of time out of Conan Exiles. And I got a lot of time out of Minecraft. So actually, I'm going to give this a shot.
The Forest
because
is
historically,
a really good
my
game.
Experience. Yeah. My experience is telling me that these kinds of games are the kind of thing that I enjoy playing, so I'm going to give it a go. That's another one, and that leads in. That's everything else. That's the experience is taking all of those other factors and applying them to the kind of thing that you're going to like.
The
to
overarching
play,
thing,
yeah. Right, look, we are going to call it a night. Are we happy? Have we covered everything? Because I don't want to ever do this again.
Yeah.
Good question. Thanks, Edge.
Right. Thank you very much, Edge. That's right, so I'm going to drop Edge of Heaven again. So that's Edge_0fHeaven on Twitter. She's dropped probably one of the best questions that we've had one of the best community questions that we've had in a really long time. To be fair, that's mainly because half of our community questions have got absolutely nothing to do with games whatsoever, and 80% of them are from Clarky.
What's the one about unicorns?
we're not doing that now. I'm not leading into that now. That's a bad idea. Right. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 84. Am I right, Lewis? Am I right?
Yes.
Episode 84. Thank you very much. This is the part of the podcast where I would normally launch into a load of waffling nonsense and tell you all the wrong places to find us on the internet. However, I'm not going to do that this time because I've learnt my fucking lesson. So instead, what you need to do is you need to go to Twitter. You need to find us on Twitter at ReadyP2, and our pinned tweet on Twitter will show you everywhere on the interwebs that you can find us. Once you've done that, you do need to come and follow us on Twitch because we're streaming really regularly. You do need to follow our YouTube channel. We do put videos up on there every now and again. Definitely follow us on Twitter if you haven't already. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and on Acast from there. All the links are on there. You can find me on Twitter.
Let me interject. For ease of use, you can also find us on Spotify now.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, we're on the spots, man. Mm.
I've listened to us on Spotify. It was exactly the same as Acast.
Do we sound even better? No, all right, okay, fine.
Less adverts.
Less adverts. Oh, yeah, that's good. Right then. So those are all the places you can find us. You can find me. I have been Rich. I've been your rambling host. You can find me on Twitter at Zebwen. That's Zebwen. You can find Lewis.
You can find me pretty much everywhere. You can find me lurking on our Discord, which we tweet out a link to fairly regularly.
Come and chat with us.
Or you can find me on Twitter at Louis_Kong.
And you can find Lee.
On Twitter at ZZLeeZZ.
And there you go. Find all of us on our website at ReadyPlayer2, that's TWO.co.uk. And until next time, we've been Ready Player 2. This has been Ready Player 2, episode 84. It's going to be coming out probably, 2019? What's the schedule at the minute? Mid-2019?
Yeah, I think so.
I'll be happy if it comes out there. Yeah, exactly. If you've got some questions that you want to put forward to us, make sure you get them in well in advance.
Well, not even that. Just let us know what you think. Like, do you disagree with any of the points that we made this evening on this episode? What ranks higher or lower for you? Let us know on Twitter or Facebook or on our Discord.
We'll happily tell you.
If you think we're full of shit, you're wrong. Yeah, if you think we're full of shit, just let us know. And we will break down in a podcast that's roughly an hour and 20 minutes long how you're wrong. Thank you very much for listening. It's been Ready Player 2, episode 84. Good night.
Good night.
Half an hour. Wow, that was way longer than I expected it to be.
That's what she said.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.